All right, well, this morning, we're going to be talking on water baptism. Nobody shouted, not a cool title, just straightforward. But I promise you, by the end of the day, you'll be excited about this topic because it's so prevalent throughout the scripture. Let me start off by telling my own journey that I've shared often, and that is that I came to know Jesus as a 17-year-old. It was real. It was genuine. I know that I knew the Lord. If I was to die, I knew I'd be with Him. My sins were covered because I trusted in Him alone. I was saved by faith. When I got to college, I began to read the Bible, and a couple of years into it, I began to read the book of Acts, and I realized that people were baptized since they believed. And I talked to a friend. I was a sophomore at Baylor, and I talked to a friend who was a senior who was pastoring a little church outside of Gatesville. And I said, "Hey, man, what do you know about baptism?" He said, "Well, you know, that's what happens after you get saved. You get baptized." And I said, "Well, I know the Lord, but I've never been baptized." And I said, "What do we do?" And he said, "Hey, well, listen, I got this little river out by the church, and I'd love to baptize if you want to." I was dating a girl at that time who also had come to the Lord right before college. She had not been baptized, so if it's good for me, it's good for her too, right? That's what we should do. Whatever God's teaching us, teach others and bring them along. So we went together with my friend Will, and we got baptized in a little river outside of a little church in Gatesville, and in the middle of March. I just want you to know it was a shocking experience. Yes, it was the presence of God, but the water took our breath away. But it was awesome. It was powerful. And the way that I communicated is that something changed. It wasn't that I was saved. It wasn't that I didn't read the Bible. I just started reading the Bible. But something changed. There was a new power, a new freedom. It seemed like I had a fresh grace for victory in the things that concern me, victory in my life. And what's true is that every act of obedience is like a key that unlocks a new door. It's like a key to the kingdom of God. And when you turn that key, when you obey God in that next area that He says, it unlocks a vista or an area in God that we didn't know was there before. And in the scripture, baptism is that next step of obedience after salvation. And somewhere I didn't get it. And it wasn't that God was mad at me for my ignorance, if you will, or my lack of knowledge. It was that once I did know, I immediately responded. Have you obeyed since you believed? Again, we're going to unpack a lot of scriptures here today. If you have been baptized, if you know the Lord, man, just renew and review. I promise you, you'll be enriched today as I did in my own study. If you haven't, listen attentively and say, "God, what do you have for me?" So there's over 100 scriptures on baptism, not just in the New Testament, but in the Bible. And so I want to take you, before we go into the New Testament, I want to take you back to the Old Testament. It's what's called design patterns throughout Scripture, things you see consistently throughout Scripture in the meta-narrative that God's trying to get through to us. So it kind of goes like this. In Genesis 1, there was chaos and the waters were brewing. They were out of control. And then God spoke and God defined their boundary and put us on dry land. The waters were scary, but then God said peace and put us on dry land. If you know the story of Noah and the ark, right? The floods came, the waters, the churning of the waters came and covered the earth. It was dark, and then God put the ark on dry land. They go through the scary waters, and they land on dry land. Obviously, hopefully by now, what's the next story that's coming to mind is the children of Israel. They're in slavery. They're in bondage in Egypt. They come to the body of water. They don't know what to do. God opens the water. They go through and they're put on dry land. The waters sometimes are rough, but God takes us through and puts us on dry land. We also see Joshua before they go into the promised land. God makes a way through the Jordan River. They walk through and into the promised land. Fast forward to the New Testament. Jesus comes. He is baptized in water, signifying and prophesying of death and burial and resurrection. He comes out of the water. A booming voice comes from heaven. "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." The beginning of the next phase of the journey for Jesus. And then we see the New Testament believer. We go through the waters of baptism, signifying death and victory, and we come out the other side. For water is not only that scary, out of control thing, but it's also life. Water is also life. Everywhere you go, to whoever's thirsty, come to the waters of life. And of course, that's the Holy Spirit. Of course, that is our intimacy with God. But those waters of baptism, they signify our death, and death to fear, death to all the brokenness in our lives, and life to God. Amazing. This design pattern from Genesis that ends up in Revelations is something that we don't want to miss. And so we're going to drill down a little farther here this morning. So when we talk about baptism, number one, it begins at salvation. Most of you guys are familiar in the book of Acts. Jesus ascends to the Father, tells them to be witnesses, but to wait for the Holy Spirit. 120 of them wait for the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God falls on these men and women, and they begin to declare the glory of God in languages they did not know. I mean, this is awesome. This is a wild encounter here. So they literally start getting languages that they don't know, but what God knows is the language of the people that are around them that are listening. And they're like, how did that guy know? How did that gal know my language? And they are glorifying the God of heaven. And these people are undone. And Peter takes the moment when this craziness is going on, and he jumps up and he said, this is that was prophesied hundreds of years ago. And he literally takes them through the scriptures, brings them to Jesus, and say, the one who you crucified, Jesus, is now Lord of all. And they are cut to the heart, the scripture says. And so let's pick that up in Acts 2, 37 to 39. Here's what they said. When they heard this, the message of Jesus and the glory of God in this incredible experience, it said they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them this, repent, turn from your sins, each one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then verse 41, for the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. This promise of salvation, this promise of freedom, and this promise of the Spirit is not for some, but for all. Because Jesus didn't die for some, Jesus died for all. And it's demonstrated there through the glorifying of God in the multiple languages that are happening in that moment. And so what happens in that simple is a simple process. I repent, I turn from my sins, I cannot get rid of my own sins, I trust in Jesus, that's salvation. Then the next step of obedience, baptized in water, signifying death, burial, and resurrection, come out the other side, alive in God, sealed by the Holy Spirit and wide open to the power of the Holy Spirit to come on me. The scripture often says it this way, we are in Christ, we're baptized in water, and we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. So let's get back to the water. So what happens here is that when people see people baptized, it just stirs them. Because it's a picture of the whole gospel right before you. And even if you can't put your finger on it, if you've ever been in a baptism service, you're just undone. You're like, wow, that is so cool, so powerful. About four years ago, one of our all service baptism, there was a man who was baptized. He was 58 years old. It was his second marriage. He and his new wife had found the Lord and were very committed, and he had never been baptized, and this was his commitment, declaration to the world. It was a great story of God's redemptive power in the midst of brokenness. And he had invited his 29-year-old son, his 27-year-old son, and one of them was married and a spouse, and he had invited them to the service to watch him be baptized. And we always share the gospel first, give people a chance to respond. What we didn't know were these two young adult men had prayed to receive the Lord. And they watched their dad get baptized. And what we often do in these days, we say, look, if you are stirred by what's going on here, if you just gave your life to Jesus and you want to be baptized, go talk to one of our pastors and we'll kind of sort that out with you. Well, these two young guys went to one of our pastors, told them their story. That was my dad. And they said, well, would you like your dad to baptize you? And they said, we would love it. And so at the end of the service, he gets back up and he baptizes his two grown sons. I mean, you talk about, whoa! I mean, you talk about the power of the gospel. Repent and be baptized You receive the Holy Spirit all in one swell, right? It's powerful. Well, baptism is not only our normal response to salvation, but baptism is our identification with Jesus. Romans 6:4. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. So there's two questions that we will ask, and you'll see us do that here in a couple of weeks. We ask simply, is Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Just do you claim Christ alone as the Savior for your salvation? And then, of course, the appropriate response is yes. Then the second question is, do you want to follow him all the days of your life, no matter what? Because here's the deal, we're not playing games. It's not like get in the water because everybody else is. It's not what my parents want me to do. It's not what somebody else wants me to do. This is your commitment to follow Jesus. And this identification with Jesus, I am dead to self, alive to God. I'm done with me, I'm now his. It does not mean that I'm going to be perfect when I come out of the water. None of us are. But what it means is my heart intent is to follow him fully. So we want to affirm, hey, this is not just a deal. This isn't just what Antioch people do. This isn't just what the church does. This isn't just my parents. This is what I'm doing because I'm serious about my commitment to Jesus. Well, as we have worked around the world and had the privilege of baptizing people from many faith backgrounds, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, etc., we have found that as we turn over those baptisms to our friends, so let's say a Muslim's come to the Lord, then we say, now they lead people to the Lord and say, here's how you baptize them. They always say, can I add a third question? It's all in some different form, but consistently can I add another question? What's that other question? I want to be able to look my brother or sister in the eye and say, are you willing to be persecuted and even die for Jesus? The reason they do that is because they understand this is not just a faith of the heart. This is a faith of life. This is a faith so precious that it's worth life and death. Isn't it amazing that people are persecuted around the world for a simple message of loving and knowing Jesus? So that means that there's something else going on in the spirit realm, and there is. There's a battle between good and evil. There is the devil is trying to lie and to deceive people and keep people from salvation. Because if they get salvation, then they get God. And when they get God, they step into the kingdom of God. And then they have peace and they have power on their lives. They have the ability to live a whole and healthy life. Now, my question is, why would governments and people be against people knowing Jesus and living out a godly life? There has to be an adversary at work in the midst of it, because it is good to know Jesus. It is great to know Jesus. It's for the betterment of every nation of the earth, for people to know Jesus. Everything about Jesus is beautiful and right and true. So we know that it's a spiritual battle. And many times in our own lives, something's telling us, don't respond to that message. Don't follow Jesus. Don't follow wholeheartedly. Don't do the baptism thing. But it's not just you. There is a force trying to keep you from the kingdom of God. Don't let any demon in hell or any lie of anybody on this planet keep you from Jesus. He is our salvation. He is our hope. And living like him can only be good. Even if you're persecuted, even if you die for your faith, I promise you, he will be with you always. And you will never regret fully loving and following him. Our identification with Jesus. Baptism, in baptism, we're called to obey Jesus in baptism. It is a part of our obedience to God. Now, let me just pause for a minute and put in a good word for obedience. You know, as a parent, that's a good word, right? If throughout the New Testament, the number one admonition to children is to obey your parents, because it is for their safety. It is for their good. Now, listen. Anything that God asks you to obey is for your good. Any way that God wants you to live is for your good. There is nothing that God has for us that he is asking us to do that is bad. It is only for good, and actually it's even better than you think it is once you step into it. Right? So here's a question people ask me sometimes, not just about baptism, but other things. Do I have to? If you ask that question, just let me get under your hood a minute. You just revealed your heart. I want to do the minimal amount to still be okay with God. Not a way to live. Not a terrible way to live, actually. What if your kid said that? Mom and Dad, what's the minimal amount? Is it just eating a meal, making a bed? Other than that, I can run in the street, eat poison, kick my brother or sister, no big deal. Just tell me the minimal amount. You say, absolutely not. No, all these things are for your good. So let me tell you something, friends. Everything's for your good in the scriptures. And when we obey it, it unlocks the key to the kingdom. It unlocks something in our life that nothing else will. And so the deal about water baptism is when you believe, now you own your relationship with God, the next step is to obey him in baptism, knowing that that is another key to the kingdom. And even if I don't understand it all or I don't like water, big deal. I'm going because I know that it's good because he's asking me to do it. And there is a blessing on the other side of every act of obedience. How many of you guys have been to escape rooms? The escape rooms, have you done that escape room thing? So I've only done it once, and I don't like them, by the way. Because I'm like a destination guy. We got went in this door, we're going out that door. And it just takes too long, a little too complicated for me. But I get the concept, right? Is that you find one clue, and that unlocks one door to unlock another door to ultimately get you out. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken us, but which is common to man, but God will plan a way of escape. God is planning a way of escape from every addiction, every brokenness, every problem. God's planning a way of escape. And baptism is one of those doors to get to the next place that God has for you. Not for salvation. You're saved by grace. And I'll just say it now. Jesus saves us alone. We're saved by grace through faith alone. Baptism is a first act of obedience. And that obedience, though, unlocks a door to the kingdom that we don't get into any other way. By the way, the one time I did it, we ran out of time. Everybody was getting frustrated. Everybody was over there trying to figure it out. And I realized we're running out of time. And so I just go over there and start punching numbers. I got us out. That's all I'm going to say. All right. So... there you go. You want me on your team if we're doing this deal. Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I go with you always, even to the end of the age. Baptism is a point of obedience. It also signifies our cleansing from sin. Our cleansing from sin. John the Baptist baptized, truly for remission of sins. But this is the symbol and the picture of the cleansing from our sin. So water washes dirt off. When we go into the baptismal waters, we say, I'm identifying that I was a sinner. I'm washed literally with water. I'm coming out a new man and free from the dirt or the brokenness of sin, so that if I have struggles in the future or when I have struggles, I can look back and say, no, I'm the dead man. I died to self. I lived to Christ. There's power because I came through the waters and trusted in Jesus. It is a place of cleansing from our sin. And I could tell stories all day long of so many people who this one act of obedience has given them fresh victory over sin, just fresh strength to run the race. And at times, literal cleansing. A few years ago, we had a couple in our church who were really burdened for their brother who was struggling with several addictions, drug and alcohol specific. And so they said, look, just come live with us. If you'll just come live with us for 6 months, we believe God can set you free. So he came and they'd sit on the front row together and God just began to help him. He found the Lord, he got baptized, power of God came on his life. He started getting free of these addictions. But what was great about him is he wanted everybody to know the freedom he was experiencing. And specifically, he had a burden for one young lady that he had lived with for 2 or 3 years in El Paso, Texas. So he calls her and tells her what Jesus is doing in his life. And my friends had called a church in El Paso to say, if we get her to come, will you be there for her? And so they told the girl about this church. The girl goes to the church. They explain the simple gospel to her, how she can receive Christ. She gives her life to Jesus. She's saved. That Sunday, they were having baptisms like we're going to do here in a couple weeks. And so they said, would you like to be baptized? She said, absolutely. And the deal is, this gal had been a heroin addict for so long that she had scars, not just needle marks, but scars. And if you've worked with addicts, you understand, you've seen that. And many times, you know, that's because it's an external thing. No matter what God does in your heart, those things just remain. It's a reminder for some and just a place of brokenness. But nobody likes those scars, especially if you're coming out the other side. So this gal, she goes into the baptismal water. She comes out of the water. She's so excited about her new faith. She throws her arms in the air to celebrate. The pastor looks at her like with open, big eyes. And she said, "What?" He said, "Look at your arms." And the scars were gone. Isn't that awesome? The scars were gone. Not only from her heart, but from her body. Isn't that awesome? The power of baptism makes the impossible possible. There's just something there in it. Again, I'm not saying for salvation. I'm saying for power, for living, and the ability to walk with God at a new level. Well, baptism also is a public proclamation. It's a public proclamation of God's work in your life. We have so many people. We have life groups that'll do baptisms at the lake, and we have groups that'll do it at a pool or a pond or whatever. And then we do, obviously, services here as well where we do baptism. But the key is that you want, after you're baptized, the whole world to know. And as many people as can know while you're doing it, all the better, right? I'm going public with my faith in every way. I've nailed this commitment down, and I want the whole world to know I belong to another. That is the power of the public demonstration. And again, all over the world, people boldly proclaim Christ in the waters of baptism, and many, many times people are stirred and changed by seeing and watching and hearing the testimony of those involved. My son-in-law came to Baylor as a fairly new believer, and he said, you know, he was just so zealous, and this guy was discipling him, and he was thinking, I need to do something demonstrative. I mean, I want the whole world to know that I know Jesus. I mean, I'm so fired up. Somebody's got to know. So he goes to the guy's time, and he says, I've been thinking about this. I just want to go so public and so bold with my love for Jesus. He said, so I got this idea in life group to shave my head with everybody there. And? I just thought that would be bold. I said, okay. So his disciples said, well, that's good. You know, maybe you could talk about a Nazarite vow or something that you. Then he said, and then I had another idea, is to get a really big tattoo across my whole back with a big old Bible verse. All right? He said, so one of those two things. And his disciples said, paused, you know, hey, those might be great ideas. He said, but you know, there's like a Bible verse about going public with what you do. And he said, what's that? He said, it's baptism. He said, great, let's do it. So he got baptized and never got the tattoo and never shaved his head. So here's the point. There is a public declaration of the kingdom of God that happens at baptism. And so my encouragement is, as many people have done, when you're baptized, invite some friends, invite family, invite people to enter in that thing with you, not only as a witness to them, but a public declaration of your own heart that everyone knows you belong to another. A couple more points. Baptism unlocks power in ministry in our lives. This is a good one. Acts 19:4-7, Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is in Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. There were in all about 12 men. So here you go. They are baptized in the name of Jesus. Once they understand it, they own their own faith. The power of God comes on them, and they begin to demonstrate the glory of God through prophesying, speaking in tongues in this instant. And many times what I have found, that a new boldness comes on our life and a new power comes on us to minister to others when we take seriously the waters of baptism, because he promises to send the Spirit of God, not just to comfort us, but also to empower us. Many of you guys know we worked overseas with the refugee crisis in Europe a couple years ago. And a group stayed a year longer in Greece and were in the camps almost on a daily basis. And of course, incredible stories and testimonies. But one of the stories was of a guy that, a Syrian refugee that they had approached in his tent, said, "Hey, do you want to talk about Jesus or people in there?" And he pulled a knife out and said, "Not past this threshold right here. You guys need to leave." So they go home, pray about it. I'm proud of our guys. They go back 3 days later just to check in, just in case. And the guy said, "You won't believe it." He said, I woke up in the a couple mornings ago and there was a Bible under my pillow. Like, wow, sign of no wonder here. And they continue to go back, talk with the guy. And this one particular day, he's still not a believer. They're saying, "Hey," he said, "I'm so worried about my brother. I don't know where my brother is." And they said, "Well, let's wait on the Lord a moment. Let's ask God where your brother is." And so they pray, "Lord, show us where the brother is." And some friend came up and said, "I know where your brother is." And the exact camp, and they found his brother. So all these little pieces he's softening bit by bit along the way. Eventually, he has a dream about Jesus. He understands that he needs to repent and come to Jesus. He tells our guys, he gives his heart to the Lord. But the big day is his baptism, because right, as a Muslim, to be baptized, this is the demarcation line. It's one thing to believe thoughts. It's another thing to live them out. This is the demarcation line. So he invites some friends. They go down to the ocean, and he's baptized. And I've seen the video of this one. And when he goes down, you know, he's just like, you know, to get baptized. He goes down. He comes out of the water, and he just begins to scream, "I'm free! I'm free! I'm free!" And I mean, you're just caught up in it, right? Because of the power of it, and you know what he's doing. You know what he's saying to the whole world. From there, he went back to the camp, and everywhere he went, just sharing Jesus with people, just telling his story. "God broke in my life. This is what I did. I'm a follower of him. You need to follow him." And we know today, 2 years later, he's still walking with God, still honoring God with his life, and still living it out. The power of this Holy Spirit that comes on those who are wholly surrendered to him. One other story, just locally. There is, and I don't know if Will's here today, but great guy named Will, works at a local establishment here. A friend of his that goes to church here, who he worked with, had been talking to him about the Lord, and the 1st of January, he decided to come start checking it out. So he came to a few events, and like maybe some of you here today, just sitting way in the back, kind of checking it out. But he got closer and closer, and eventually said, "I need to know Jesus," gave his life to Jesus. And of course, what happened was he had a heart for his own friends who were kind of like him, wondering, all right, what's it look like to follow Jesus? Who, you know, what does it mean to know him? And so about a month later, he asked his friend, he said, "Can I start a Bible study with these guys? Can I start a Bible study with my friends and try to tell them the things I'm learning?" And of course, the answer is yes, because Jesus already said you could, right? Go and make disciples. It's not us. Jesus already said you're good to go. But what he was asking is, you know, do you think I can do it? You know, or how can I help him? And our young adults pastor, he was wise enough to ask, has he been baptized? Has Will been baptized, right? He's ready to do this great deed for God, but has he been baptized? And he said no. And they went to Will and said, "Will, you know, have you read about baptism?" He said, "Just last night, somebody was talking to me about baptism." He said, "Tell me all about it, you know," and they clarified it. That night, went down to the lake and got baptized. And today, he's still meeting with his friends, sharing the scriptures, and moving forward in God. And we're so proud of his walk with God, but even more so, the way he's loving and caring for people as well, like himself. But what I want to emphasize is, he needed all the tools he could, he needed every tool that he could in order to serve people rightly. Baptism is one of those tools. It's just, again, one of those keys that unlocks something so that we can be all that God's called us to be. All right, let's land this plane. All right, who's baptism for? Baptism is for those who believe. And so I was sprinkled as a child, and my parents did that, the way that I see it biblically, is because they wanted to dedicate me to God. That's a sweet, kind thing. They were hoping that I would walk with God or that we'd be attached to the church or whatever that is. I was sprinkled as a child. But that was not my baptism. That was their baptism. The scripture is clear throughout the New Testament and in the life of Jesus. Have you been baptized in water since you believed? The word baptism literally means to be plunged under. Have you gone fully under, signifying full death, so there'll be full resurrection? And so baptism is for those who have believed. Have you been baptized since you believed, since you owned your faith, since you understood what the gospel meant? Have you been baptized since you believed? So that's who it's for. If you have believed but not been baptized in water, jump in with us in the next couple weeks. Another question often comes up is, I have been struggling all my Christian life. Do I need to be baptized again because I'm ready to get serious? Okay? So here's what I would say. If you owned your faith, understood what it was to give your heart and life to Jesus, and you were baptized in water in response to that, you're good to go. Don't need to go back in the water. You really are. You're good to go. You may have struggled along and you may need to clean some stuff in your life, but know that if you owned your faith and you were baptized in response to that faith, you don't need to do it again. Now, if you would say, I got baptized and it's all been a blur and I've never really understood what it means to walk with Jesus. So the question is, did you believe, did you understand when you were baptized? Sometimes we get baptized because everybody else is. Sometimes our parents thought it was a good idea. Sometimes we thought, well, maybe that'll just help me be a better person. There's all kinds of reasons that people may have gotten baptized in water, but if it wasn't because you owned your belief and you were responding by faith and obedience, then yes, let's do it again, not because it has to be redone, but because you never did it really in a biblical way. Does that make sense? And one other question, which I always think is funny because I didn't grow up in a Christian home. Wherever you were baptized in water, you're good to go. If you believed, I mean, really, you're good to go. All right, okay, that's free. Then the other question is, what age should someone be baptized? Let me just go back to the Bible. When someone understands that they're a sinner, they repent and turn to Jesus and trust alone in Him for salvation, then they're baptized. That could be 5 years old, that could be 15 years old, or that could be 50 years old. There is not an age of revelation and repentance if biblically you're helping somebody go through it. That's why with the kids over in our kids ministry, if somebody's open to the Lord and wants to respond, we always call the parents so that they can watch them come to the Lord or lead them to the Lord themselves. And then we do training on baptism so we understand, so they understand, do they know the Lord? Do they respond, etc. Some of the most powerful testimonies that you'll hear are from seven-year-olds who literally wept in the presence of God, gave their lives to Jesus, and then, man, and they say, I am here to get baptized to declare the whole world I know Jesus. And I mean, I get more inspired by that than just about anything. I'm like, woo! And somebody's telling me, no, not till they're 12 or not till they're eight. I'm like, hey, no. The Bible says when they believe, they be baptized, we're good to go, right? Does that make sense? And again, that's different ages for different people. So we're not pushing baptism. We're offering it as a response of obedience to the gospel with absolute joy. All right, last point. When do you get baptized? I think I've said it about 10 times. When you believe. Or another way to say it is immediately. Now, immediately, in this case, might be a couple of weeks because we're going to do this deal together, maybe a little preparation in time. But at least the biblical norm is when you believe, you get baptized immediately. There's a great story. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is Acts 8. So one of Jesus' disciples, Philip, is worshiping God and praying, and he gets transported to this road. Miles and miles away, just shoop, there he is. He looks up. There's an Ethiopian guy coming down the way in a chariot reading the book of Isaiah. Now, when you get transported, you should be looking around, like, why am I here? Guy's coming by in the chariot, runs up along the chariot. What are you reading? He said, I'm reading Isaiah, but I don't have anyone to teach me. Jumps in the chariot, talks it through with the guy. And the guy gets it. Remember that divine design that goes from the Old Testament to the New Testament? Somehow he understood that baptism mattered. The guy understands who Jesus is, sees the water, and says, what prevents me from being baptized? Pull the chariot over. They go in the water. They both go down together. Now, I don't know if Philip was so overcome, he thought, I need to get baptized again. Or he just wanted to get wet. I don't know. But anyway, they both go down. They both come up rejoicing at the grace of God. That 700 years ago, he had prophesied about a Messiah. He had revealed it. He had transported a guy to tell him. And of course, we want to be baptized to celebrate and to tell the whole world that we are in wholeheartedly. I want to end with my favorite baptism testimony that we have heard through the years from a 73-year-old man. And what I love about it is not only the tender way in which he communicates his faith, but what's clear in it and in this story is that it's never too late. Never too early, and it's never too late to give your life to Jesus. To give your life to Jesus and to walk with him. Let's listen to Orville tell us what that experience was like for him.
My name is Orville Engel. And my wife and I moved here from Minnesota in 1987 to be with our children and grandchildren at that time. And since then, we've become great parents and great even. But a year ago, I went to Minnesota for a family reunion. This particular day in July, 26th of July, Friday, and my sister Rosella said, I'd like to apologize to the rest of you for anything I've ever done. And we all kid her, say, we're all done with all that. You've been forgiven a long time ago. And my other sister, Arlene, read a little scripture and started praying. And there he was. There was Jesus. I'd been away from him for, at that time, 73 years. And he was waiting for me to come back. And he did. I don't know how many years I've left. Nobody knows that. But from here on out, it's whatever I can do to please the Lord and to help his ministry and to do whatever I can. That's my mission for the rest of my life, is to serve Jesus. Jesus loves you all. Don't ever turn him away. A lot of years wasted. Thank you.
Let's stand together. Our prayer teams can come to the front quickly, please. Powerful, isn't it? The power of the gospel to change a heart, to change a life, no matter where you are, no matter where your journey is. And to me, this moment right here is the most important time of our whole service. This is where we respond to God in a personal way. And if you don't know Jesus, in just a moment, I want to lead you to him through simple prayer. If you do know Jesus, I want to encourage you one of two things. Just right there in your seat, you're asking, Holy Spirit, what do I need to do? How do I need to respond? And then you respond to Jesus, whatever he says to you. And we also have people here to pray for you. Down here on the front or up in the bowl area on that landing, you can just turn around and walk right up there. People to pray for you. Whatever you're struggling with, whatever your challenges are, if you feel like you're just suffocating with the pain of life and the burdens of life, which all of us get there now and then, man, just let somebody pray for you. If you've got a physical challenge, a mental challenge, emotional challenge, we're here for you. Don't allow anyone to keep you from getting the prayer that you need this morning, either up there or down here. We're here for you. We love you. We want to pray in the name of Jesus that his power would come and heal and restore you. So I want to ask you just to do this. If you would, just close your eyes for a moment. And again, if you're not comfortable with that, you don't have to. It's just a way to focus. I want to pray a couple prayers and then lead my friends who don't know Jesus to Jesus. Holy Spirit, come and reveal to us what our next step of obedience is. Show us your way, Lord. Speak to our hearts, and we want to say yes to you again this morning. Now, if you're hearing the sound of my voice, you don't know Jesus, I want to pray a simple prayer. You can pray it right with me. God sees the sincerity of your heart. If you need to know him, pray something like this, Lord Jesus. You can just pray it right after me, Lord Jesus, I need you. Just pray it right with me, I need you. Forgive me of my sins. I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you rose from the dead. And I give my life to you. I give my life to you. I am yours, Lord. I am yours. I give my life to you. I am yours. Thank you for making a way to the Father just for me. I receive your love. And Lord, for every man, woman, and child who's calling on your name right now, I proclaim them free from the power of sin and death. According to your word, according to your work, that whoever calls on your name will be saved. And I speak that salvation over every heart that is calling on your name right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.